Welcome to Double Take with Matt and Jake. This is Jake, joined by Matt as always. Today is Wednesday, December 20th. Last week, both of us were pretty hectic, so weren't able to get one in, but we're excited to be here today. A lot to catch up on, for sure. I can't think of anything before diving in. Anything we missed the last couple weeks as far as superficial stuff?
Just going on our lives. I don't know, not particularly. I'm about to get out for the winter break. Got one more day tomorrow. So that'll be good. We got our cousins flying in from Texas, which means I think we'll be cheering for the Longhorns whether we want to or not.
Yeah. Yeah, at least pretending to. Yeah. I like Texas. I don't mind Texas, so I was really going to cheer for them.
Yeah, that's who I think, you know, because, like, as a BYU fan, I feel like I'm not supposed to like BYU. I don't particularly like, Washington. I don't particularly like. I'm not particularly a fan of Michigan or Ohio State, and no reason to cheer for Alabama. They don't need another one, so why not cheer for Texas?
Why not? Yeah. Okay, well, let's start with the ick of the week. Then a few things to get into that I've been wanting to talk about. Also, I'm kind of sick, so if I sound crappy or let Matt do more of the talking, that's why. Ick of the week. Screaming on a roller coaster.
Mm.
That one I kind of get.
Yeah?
Yeah. Not to the point where, like, you lose all interest completely, but I was on a roller coaster with a girl one time, and she was, like, screaming the whole time, like, yeah, just to scream.
Right.
Like, I don't like roller coasters to begin with.
Yes.
So, like, this just is stupid.
Yeah.
Waste of time.
I agree. Now, what about yelling on a roller coaster? Do you think you can yell on a roller coaster? You're supposed to sit in silence.
What's the difference between yelling and screaming?
I think screaming is kind of the high-pitched. Yelling is like, ah!
Oh, you mean like Tower Terror, and you like drop, you're like, ah? Like something like that?
So something like, well, like, I guess, like, for me, I'm thinking a scream as being almost in your falsetto, and your yell just being in your normal voice. I don't know if that's a technical definition, but it's how I would think about it.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not sure. We'll have to consult the experts on that.
Yeah.
So two things I want to talk about right off the bat. Some National Signing Day / transfer portal stuff. But first, there's something with Shohei Ohtani I wanted to bring up. Then we can talk about, you know, whatever else we want to.
Yeah.
We haven't talked about it, so let me know. But Ben Verlander, brother of Justin Verlander, did you see this tweet he said?
No.
He posted a video talking about Shohei Ohtani to the Dodgers, and he said Shohei Ohtani is the most important signing in Dodgers history. And literally everyone is like, what about Jackie Robinson? You raise, like, and getting mad at him.
Uh-huh.
And just the inability of people to, like, contextualize anything.
Yeah.
Like, obviously that's not what he was talking about.
Right. Yeah, no, yeah, very clearly Jackie Robinson's the most important signing in their history, but, yeah, and, like, I know he was obviously a great baseball player. He would have had been great to be able to break the barrier, right? But, yeah, this Shohei, he's a different animal. There's been, like, two of these ever.
And, yeah, he wasn't, I mean, yeah, like, he was good, but he wasn't, like, that's just not what he was talking about.
Right, yeah, no, it's just different things.
Yeah.
So I get that. That makes sense.
And I just literally understand a few idiots, but literally everyone is just, like, furious at him.
Uh-huh.
And it's just like, that's not what we're talking about here. No one is negating that. And obviously Jackie Robinson is more impactful from a, like, historical standpoint, you know, racial standpoint, you know, anything you want to put except impact on the baseball field, Shohei's going to be, at least should be, much more impactful.
Well, he's playing on both sides of the ball.
Yeah.
So just, you know, mathematically.
Yeah, for sure. It's unbelievable how stupid people are, I think.
Yeah.
Like, and this is, now I'm just kind of ranting about people, but I keep seeing Florida State fans talking about how, like, the playoff is just like an ESPN SEC tournament. And the ACC, they keep, like, ripping on the ACC. And it's, like, the playoff committee director sent a reply to some senator or something like that.
Right.
Saying, and he used the term, quote, so-called Power Five conference. And the sentence was talking about how recognizing, like, a undefeated champ from a so-called Power Five conference has never been left out.
Yeah.
Clearly, he's saying they don't view it as Power Five, Group of Five. Everyone took that as the ACC is not a Power 5 conference. Like, if you read a sentence and a half, you can see that's not what he's talking about.
Yeah.
Also, ESPN owns the ACC network and has the rights to ACC football games.
Yeah.
So, if that was the case, Michigan and Washington would have been out because Washington's going to the Big Ten. ESPN right. doesn't own any of that stuff.
Yeah.
It doesn't. They would want to keep Florida State in there. And if Florida For sure. State leaves, they're going to the SEC.
Yeah, no, ESPN loves Florida State.
It's just nonsensical. I understand being upset, but it's the nonsense that bothers me.
Yes, yeah. I don't know. Twitter is just, well, I guess it's X now, just but the worst place to have any sort of discussion.
It honestly, like, didn't we learn about, like, context and, like, reading in, like, third grade? Was it fifth grade?
We did, and so, I don't know. I guess for me, the thing that's upsetting, or not upsetting, but just problematic, is that we take the views, not the best, the best views don't get seen the most, but the most extreme views on either side. And I think that's the problem, right? And, you know, to your point, that it makes people angry. That's why we talk about it. But it's just, I don't think it's a good representation of what's actually happening.
I don't know. Honestly, 90%+ of my interactions in any sort of capacity diminish my faith in humanity. I've given up on humans.
Yeah.
Like, there's a few good things, but most of us walking around are just selfish, dumb idiots.
There are a lot of selfish, dumb idiots. You're not wrong.
Yeah. Like, that community episode where they had the debate, like, is human nature good or bad?
Uh-huh.
I think it's bad, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how you feel about that, but...
I certainly think people can improve. And yeah. I think a lot of people do improve.
For sure. Other thing I want to talk about, I'll stop complaining about people I don't know being dumb. Transfer portal, National Signing Day. The two things that brought us up. So, first of all, Oregon brought in Dylan Gabriel from Oklahoma and Dante Moore from UCLA, who, true freshman, was initially committed to Oregon anyways.
Yeah.
Because of that, Ty Thompson, who was at Oregon, entered the transfer portal. At USC, they brought in Will Howard from Kansas State. Number one player in the country last year, Malachi Nelson, leaves in the transfer portal. Now, am I at practice? No. Does Dan Lanning and Lincoln Riley, do they know more than me? Yes. Do they see those players? Yes. From my perspective, especially USC, Malachi Nelson, number one quarterback in the country last year, true freshman, was committed to Oklahoma, followed Lincoln Riley to USC. You decide to bring in Will Howard, maybe 1 year. I think he has 1 year, maybe two. I think it's just 1 year of eligibility. He's a fine quarterback.
Yeah.
It costs you your number one player, though. Like, why wouldn't you just roll with him? Unless he just is bad. And like, you get to practice, you're like, oh, this isn't good. That's the only thing I can think of.
Yes, and if he is bad, we can definitely talk about it in the fall.
But we'll be able to see. Yeah. Because he's talking, like, Tulane and Cal, TCU, and one other program. And I tweeted out, there were, like, six schools. I was like, other than these six schools, everyone in the country should be talking to Malachi Nelson.
Yeah.
Now, Oregon, Ty Thompson left, but they got Dante Moore back. So... Now, Ty Thompson left, and then they got Dante Moore, so at that point, I was more critical, and I was like, okay, that makes sense. I just, like, the idea of, like, bringing in someone who's, and, like, losing your talented younger player, that makes me nervous.
Yeah, certainly don't want to lose talented younger player.
Yeah. So. But Dante Moore, I like Ty Thompson. Dante Moore... rough freshman year, but I think has a higher ceiling than Ty Thompson, so I get that. Also, I don't get, though, I will say this. So, Dante Moore committed to Oregon, flipped to UCLA, now he's back at Oregon. Like, what changed where he's like, oh, I don't like Oregon enough where I'm going to go to UCLA, and now he's back at, and he was like, I want to leave UCLA.
Yeah.
Something must have happened.
Something, yeah.
I don't know what it was.
I don't know.
I just don't. It's not that I don't think players should be able to transfer. It's just the grass is 50% of the time the grass isn't greener. At least.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know. It just like it feels like when we talk about NFL quarterbacks who end up bust. Not 100% of the time. A lot of the time, it feels like they had four different offensive coordinators in 5 years, right? And I feel like if you're just going to different schools, you're just making it harder for yourself to learn an offense and be good, right? So It just feels like there's going to be worse quarterback play overall because nobody's going to be a veteran.
I saw a stat that 40% of 4 and 5 stars from 2 years ago were on different rosters now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, today's National Signing Day, so we're going to talk about a little bit, but, like, what's the point? Like, it's just crazy. Like,
yeah, because if that many people are moving, then you're just going to go to another school that also has someone who probably going to beat you out.
Yeah, it's crazy. I think being a college coach would be the most frustrating job.
Yeah.
With, like, the hours they got to put in and, like, dealing with high school kids and their parents and now the transfer portal and keeping track of all that.
Yeah.
One player who getting probably the most attention, Dylan Raiola. Have you heard of this kid?
It sounds familiar.
I think some services have him as the number one quarterback in the country. Initially committed to Ohio State, flipped to Georgia 9 or 10 months ago, I think, like in March. A couple days ago, flipped to Nebraska. His dad was an All-American in Nebraska. His uncle's the offensive line coach at Nebraska. So, committed to 3 different schools, ultimately signed Nebraska in high school. And part of this is because his dad was, like, doing different business stuff, so he just moved the family. Started in Texas, moved to Chandler High School in Arizona, which last 5, 8 years, 10 years has been the best program in Arizona, I think.
Yeah.
Was going to transfer to Pinnacle High School in Phoenix, and then something happened. Arizona school system wasn't going to let him, so they're like, okay, let's just move to Georgia. So he's kind of 3 to 4 different high schools.
Uh-huh.
Committed to 3 different schools. That makes me worried. Maybe I'm being old school. That makes me a little hesitant that he's just going to leave Nebraska after a year.
It does. Yeah, I mean, there's a pattern that suggests that'll happen.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. It just and I don't know. Maybe this is me. This is me being a high school teacher, and that you just always hear this said. And, like, I think you should go for the thing that you want. If you want to be an NFL quarterback, you should go for it. But this is like not even making it possible to have a plan B if you're just going different school. Like, how are you supposed to major in anything or have any sort of academic focus if you can't build any relationships with professors, can't build any relationship with your peers? Because, like, and even if you're going to be an NFL quarterback, I still think that stuff and being on a team is important.
Well, yeah, because, like, the idea is, like, you're down 4, 2 minutes left. Does winning matter? Like, are you playing for the guy next to you?
Yeah.
Or not? And again, I don't know this kid, so this is just a perception. Maybe it's unfair. But the idea that, and it's one thing if you move, but moving, like, to a different high school within the state just for whatever reason, and then moving to Georgia because you couldn't play at that school, like,
yeah, I mean, whether or not it's true of that kid, it's emblematic of a huge problem.
It's representative of a situation that's happening. And even with the college transfers.
Right.
It's like the guy you're lined up next to, you've been playing with him for a few years, you love him, you've been in the workouts, or you met him a few months ago, you both came from different schools. Like, do you want to win? Yeah, but is that the most important thing?
Right.
I don't know,
yeah. You know, and I believe I said this maybe a couple podcasts ago, but I think the way to fix this is you come into college and you sign a 4-year contract. And then we're just making them professionals at that point, but that's just what they are now. But because we're doing it under the table, we just have all this nonsense going on, and it just doesn't.
Because the schools themselves aren't allowed to negotiate NIL, technically.
Right.
So obviously the coach is very involved, but it's going through like a third party.
Right.
So there's so much going on. And like that allows a kid to be like, hey, coach, this school offered me $500,000. Either give me that or I'm leaving. Like, that'd be so annoying for a coach, and then you have to, like, let me go see if we have that money. Are you worth that one? You know what I mean?
Right, yeah, just exhausting.
It would be insane.
So, yeah, I don't know. And I think, yeah, it's just either be professional football, which is what I would advocate for since the money's being made, or don't be professional football. But don't be this middle of the ground, whatever is happening.
Yeah. I think ultimately we're going to have to get to a point. I think we'll get to a point where there's like a collective bargaining agreement and a salary cap or something like that. Because there's no way coaches want to be doing this.
No, yeah.
Like, I think it's like the worst time to be a coach.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. You got to re-recruit your own player. College basketball, I just stopped watching that because, like, I don't even know who plays for who.
Right.
Like, I watched Utah basketball from 1 year to the next year. I didn't recognize any single player.
Yeah. Well, because, like, even, like, Caleb Love, who's, like, the best player on an Arizona team that went to the national championship, is going to Arizona. Like, why? What's he trying to do?
I don't know.
Like, what? Why? What is it Arizona that you can't have in North Carolina where you're the best player?
I don't know. I miss Caleb Love. It was nice he got to beat Duke that, and Cameron again.
That was fun. That was fun. I liked that.
It's, yeah, wild. And I don't have a kid. Especially don't have a kid going through that, so I don't want to judge parents. But it does seem like there's a lot of helicopter parents trying to get involved. Like the Rashada kid with the Florida, the Miami, and then ultimately Arizona State. That was all the parent, like, not parent, but, like, his group.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And not, I sounded like, from everything I've heard, the kid just wanted to play football, and the people around him were the ones doing all the money stuff, and then he got dragged through the mud for no fault of his own.
Yeah, well, you're an 18-year-old kid, you don't know how to open your own bank account. Like, you don't know how all this stuff works and how much money you're actually worth.
So, yeah, it just kind of is a crappy system for everybody involved, and obviously, people are still watching. We're going to watch college football playoffs, especially. But, like, I'm blanking on, what's the text? Malik Murphy.
Yeah.
Back up for Texas. Started a few games, including the BYU game. Without him playing, you know, and helping his team win those games, Texas isn't in the college football playoff.
Right.
He had to enter a transfer portal, and he's going to miss the playoff run because that's just how the timing works. Like, the calendar is completely screwed up.
Yeah, it's like, if nothing, even if we're still going to have the transfers, there's no reason we can't say, all right, we're doing this in between February to April. Like, when does spring football start?
February, March.
Why does spring football start in February?
Only a couple schools, like BYU starts it in February. Most schools do it in March or so.
Yeah. But if it, yeah, even like
I agree, but like
yeah, like January 20th to the end of February. That's 6 weeks. That should be plenty of time, and then you can start your spring football in April. There's no reason you can't do it in April, especially because you're like not allowed to do it in a lot of the summer, right? Or there's times when you can't do it.
Yeah, and like only a strength and conditioning coach can be around the program.
Yeah,
and it's tough because like I understand with like academic calendars being different, like you have to get enrolled in things like that, and. But, like, National Signing Day in December makes it tough because then the transfer portal, like, there should just be, like, the NFL has a free agency window. This is a draft. Like, very set periods. College football just needs to get their act together and make it easier for everybody.
Yeah, and like, look, like, if you are the one going to another school, maybe you should just have to go a semester early or a semester late, right? That could be one way of discouraging transfers.
Yeah.
You know, like, don't make it impossible, but it shouldn't be necessarily the super easiest thing in the world where you have this thing that we don't know who's on what team.
The only thing I'm pro transfer, like, is if the coach who recruited you leaves or your position coach leaves. Because there are times where, like, signing day, like, within a week, the person who is recruiting you is going to leave, and like he's the reason you went to that program.
Right.
In that case, you should get released from your letter of intent, or if it's like been within a year or whatever.
I think that makes sense.
That's the only time where like that sucks for the player.
Right. You know? Sure. Absolutely. Yeah. Well, that, I don't know. Yeah. I feel like there should be a way that like you get your coaches relatively set before
you would think,
do the signing, yeah. But
it's just the Wild West. It's just chaos.
Right.
Yeah. And not saying, oh, like, you know, players are entitled, they shouldn't be able to transfer. Not saying that, but it does need to be more of a controlled system in one way or another. It's got to land.
Right. Yeah. That's where it's at. Yeah. We definitely want players to be able to transfer.
And like college basketball, and this is out of the bag, never going back, but like everyone used to know, like players were at programs for 4 years. They knew all the players. I literally, other than North Carolina basketball, I couldn't name one BYU or Utah player. And yeah. That's where we live.
Well, and it is just like
Bronny James and Caleb Love are the only college players outside of Carolina I can name, probably.
Yeah, for sure. Well, and it's just like, it's a better product with like, it's like with Real Salt Lake, I like that Kyle Beckerman and Nick Raimondo are there for 12 years, right? Like I enjoy watching a player develop over 4 or 5 years, or in college, 3 or 4 years. It's fun to like almost develop that relationship with a player. You know, that's one of the best things about sports. And if you can't have that, there's just going to be less interest.
Yeah, for sure. And college basketball, I think, is down. I don't know the numbers, but I think it's lost interest like significantly. Besides March Madness.
Yeah, I mean, certainly, yeah, people don't talk about it. Like, I was talking to my students today, they like football, but they're just, nobody has any interest in college basketball at all.
It's crazy.
So,
it's wild. Wild world we live in. You know what the most pointless, like, tool for acquiring players is in any sport in the world?
I don't know.
MLS draft.
Oh, yeah. I saw that on Facebook. That's like, we've drafted 6 players. It's like, when did, how, I had no idea this happened.
Like, literally, the ML, like, Major League Baseball draft, it sucks because you have to wait, like, 3 years to see them play. But you hear about them and you know who they are, and they get there. The MLS draft, I don't, out of the players who actually start in the league, maybe 5% came from the draft. That's a guess, but
I don't know. That'd be interesting to look at. I know with Real, I'm aware of 3 players we've drafted, maybe 4.
Schmidt left.
Yeah,
that was one, and he was even in the academy, right? So it's like a.
Yeah, he may have been, like, in the academy and then left to go play college soccer or something like that.
MLS is a poorly run league, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's just so it's really confusing in the salary cap and where the players come from. Which, naturally, if you can get players from Colombia and Venezuela, as Real does a lot, and bring them in from Europe and Africa, it's just not as simple as bring players through college and then through a draft, right? So it necessarily has to be more complicated.
I just think, and this applies to the NFL, but like whatever you're paying a player, that should be their salary cap hit.
That makes sense to me.
Well, I don't see why. And the NFL is like crazy because they'll sign these like 4-year deals. Like, well, really, it's a 2-year deal, paying them $8 million a year, but $12 million cap hit. Like, why is it not just $8 million?
Yeah. Well, yeah, speaking of, you know, players and that what they're being paid should be their cap hit. I think that Shohei Ohtani making $2 million a year, that there's no way this should be able to work.
I saw a Giants fan tweet like they're paying Shohei Ohtani $2 million and Major League Baseball is not going to do a thing about it. It's like, as much as I hate it, like, it's very perfectly legal. Like, what can or should MLB do about it, you know?
Yeah, no, and it's like, yeah, no, I'm not saying that they shouldn't do it. I'm saying that MLB should make that sort of contract
illegal.
It's
a crazy loophole.
Yeah, it's absolutely absurd.
It's wild. Like, $700 million, like, I think Ken Griffey Jr. is going to make more next year from Major League Baseball than Shohei Ohtani is.
Well, I mean, speaking of that, if you're Shohei Ohtani, like, I understand deferring some of that money because I get, yeah, 700, it's 200 more than any contract. So I'm okay deferring some of it, but I want more than $2 million a year.
I think he's just fine with plus the endorsement money. And I think he just wants that money to go to other players.
I guess. But
I agree with you. For sure. I'm just saying.
Like, I could take 15 a year. You know what
like
I mean?
$2 million in California. Like, it's more than I make, but it's not, like, that much money.
Right. Yeah, like, yeah, huge taxes, you know, being a professional baseball player. Like, he's going to have relievers that are making more money than him, I feel like.
For sure.
So.
Yeah, $2 million is, like, little more than arbitration money.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, Julio Rodriguez got the most arbitration money this year, He's at 1.87 million. It's also crazy that, like, if you get drafted, like, you'll make, like, 500,000, 900,000 high end of your rookie contract with arbitrations, 1.87 million this year.
Yeah.
And then you can jump to, like, 400 million over 12 years.
Yeah.
Or if you're showing Ohtani 700 million. It's just, like, such a crazy jump.
Now, is it just that there are so many more baseball games than anything else that they can do these kinds of contracts?
Yeah, because the TV money, like, they're getting all that ad money for 162 games.
So, yeah, twice as many as the NBA games. So when you say twice as many as the NBA games, like, it feels like there's so many less NBA players. Like, it doesn't... I totally get them being so far ahead of football. It doesn't seem they should be this far ahead of basketball.
The players who don't make that much money really don't make that much money. Like, minor leaguers making $20,000 a year.
Right.
And there are more players, but...
Mm-hmm.
Like, Julio Rodriguez, superstar. And contracts are long, because you're on your rookie contract in the NBA for, like, 4 years, right?
Yeah, 4 or 5 sometimes.
I don't know the exact details, but it's longer in baseball, and there's a couple, like, arbitration years where a team doesn't have to give you an extension.
Yeah.
Where in the NBA, you kind of do.
Right. So you got to get to, you know, year 6, 7 to be able to get that huge contract.
So if you take a while to get through the minors, plus the older you are, the less your contract's going to be.
Right.
So that, in the NFL, it's all about the second contract. In baseball, it's really the second, I guess technically second contract still. But you got to get to it so much faster.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah.
That's the deal. So, which is why, you know, someone like Bryce Harper, you'd go play junior college instead of your senior year of high school.
Yeah. He was 17 playing junior college baseball.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How old is he now, do we think?
33?
Something like that. It's crazy that it's like all that effort for just one contract and now he's on the contract.
Yeah. Harper age. 31. Oh, so he's our age. October 16th, 1992. So he's only like 2 months older.
That actually sounds kind of familiar,
he's
actually.
He's younger than us. 2 months younger than us.
Yeah, that him being around our
That's
age.
That's depressing.
Yeah.
I thought he was older than us.
Oh, man. Yeah, shout out to Bryce.
But... Proud member of the LDS Church.
Yeah, absolutely.
Got to represent. So, yeah, so I know we're not going to go into, like, a ton of details on signing day, just because I know people don't really care about high school players. But before we get into the top five, anything else that we missed or need to discuss?
The MLS draft was the thing. Now, what we did miss, we talked about the expansion draft, you know, not mattering too much. The expansion draft did technically happen.
For which?
For the Utah Royals, for the women's team.
Oh, for the women's soccer? Yeah.
Yes, we got two players, and we promptly traded one of them away. So, we got more people through trades and free agency and other things, so.
American soccer makes no sense.
Very confusing. So, but yeah, no. Excited for that season coming up. So, we'll talk more about that in probably March.
Okay. So, this week's top five, and again, a little shorter episode just because I'm sick, so there's not as much to talk about. As of right now, top five classes in the country. No looking them up.
Recruiting classes.
Recruiting classes. As of today. As of this moment. Because it's obviously changing with flips and things like that.
Okay.
Now, just to remind everybody, Matt gets 3 strikes. I am 4-2 against Matt.
So, I got to say Georgia first.
Yep, they're 1.
Alabama.
They're 2.
Now it gets, you know, there's a couple different places we could go. Could go USC. Could go Colorado. I don't think the Colorado is going to be on there. I'm going to say, yeah, could go Ohio State. Actually, yeah, let's say Ohio State.
They're 4.
Let's say Michigan.
Nope.
No Michigan. Are they, like, top 10?
Michigan is 15th.
15th, interesting. Yeah. Okay.
They only have, oh no, they have a lot of commitments. So, 27 commits, I don't know.
Yeah. Feel like Clemson's not going to be on there. Florida State could be. What?
So, one of these programs is, like, good, but not Georgia, Alabama, Ohio State good.
Uh-huh.
The other one is more bigger than it is actually good at football.
Bigger than it actually is, go to football. Okay. Yeah, I feel like either of those could be
easy place to recruit to.
Florida State or Texas. Yeah, let's say USC.
No, they're down at 18.
What are you doing, Lincoln also, Riley? What are you doing?
Three of their best defensive players entered the transfer portal this week, including Damani Jackson, who's a cornerback, and Corey Foreman, who is a defensive lineman from Centennial in Riverside, California. I think he was the number one player. I might be wrong. I think he was the number one player in his class.
Interesting.
And he's gone. So not only can USC not play defense, their best players are leaving.
Yeah. Yeah, that's not great. Yeah. Not a good sign. Okay. Well, let's say... Yeah, I got one more guess. And my hints were bigger than they are good at football, and the other one is, like, good but not huge.
They're very good, so it's not like...
So maybe not making the playoff, but making a New Year's Six game.
Yeah, like, they're not winning the national championship like Georgia, but they're still, you'd consider them a very good program.
Okay.
And then the other one is, should be much better than they are. But it's a very easy place to recruit to, or should be.
Should be, okay. LSU.
No, they are the easiest place in the world to recruit to. They're 11th.
LSU is 11.
They
wow.
should be much higher.
Okay.
So I think you have one more strike.
Okay. Yeah. I think that might have been my third, but I'll do a quick one. Let's say Florida.
No, Florida had the worst day out of anybody today.
I did hear they had a bad day.
They had a lot of people who were committed. They got DJ Lagway, who is the Max Preps Player of the Year, number. Again, depending on who you talk to, there's like three or four quarterbacks ranked number one. He's in that conversation.
Yeah.
He signed, but they had a lot of people flip.
That's very frustrating.
And Billy Napier is building the program on like high school recruiting.
Uh-huh.
So today was terrible
in
Florida. Number three is Miami.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Interesting.
They do have 27 commits, and they're all high-rated. Like, but one easy thing... One easy way to have a high class is just to have a lot of commitments.
Yeah.
Like, Texas A&M and Florida have 17 and 18, respectively. Florida had a lot more and lost it.
Right.
Oregon's number five.
I was thinking Oregon was kind of going through the back of my mind, but I didn't, you know.
They had a couple. They flipped a receiver who was committed to Ohio State. They had a good class.
Good for them.
Plus, Dante Moore, Dylan Gabriel. Dan Lanning is crushing it.
No.
Yeah.
He's a good set. Where were they talking about him going that didn't make any sense?
Texas A&M.
Oh, yeah. No, why?
It's like, why would you leave Oregon? I'd
absolutely want to be in Oregon for sure.
For 100%. Because Oregon has that Nike money. Like, A&M has that oil money, but Nike's not short.
Yeah, Nike's plenty of money. Yeah.
And also, they're rational. Maybe it's because they're more liberal. I don't know what it is, but... They're much more rational, I think, in Oregon than at Texas A&M.
Yeah, well, I would love to talk to somebody who lives there, but like in my mind, maybe this is just my bias, I consider it a track town, and then they're excited to be good at football. Like, I think they love football very, very much, but I think of it primarily as a track place.
I think the football fans live in Portland.
Yeah, if that makes
like
sense.
Like, that Highway 5 on Saturdays is just insane going to from Eugene.
Yeah.
And like the hotels there, and this is true of any like Tuscaloosa. Like, did you see the hotel prices for the Georgia weekend next year?
No.
So the Embassy Suites in Tuscaloosa is like $4,400 a night.
Jeez, that's crazy.
Yeah, so it's not that bad in Eugene, but it's pretty bad just because everyone like goes in from Portland.
Interesting.
I think it's so funny that like Oregon and Seattle, because like both the Washington Huskies and the Seahawks. Seattle has, like, the super, you know, liberal, vegan, whatever stereotype.
Uh-huh.
That's true. But they're also, like, obsessed with football.
Yes, yeah.
Like, Husky Stadium is loud.
Uh-huh.
And Seahawks Stadium is probably the loudest stadium in the NFL.
Sure, yeah.
I just think it's a funny juxtaposition.
It is a funny juxtaposition, yeah.
Football does unites a lot of people.
Yes, it does, yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, sorry about my voice. Appreciate everybody listening here. If you haven't done so, feel free to drop a 5-star comment, subscribe, review. We will be back next week. It's Christmas, so we'll figure out when we're going to do it. But
yeah, we'll find time.
You'll be on vacation, so I'll just have to...
Yeah, I'll have time.
Figure out my schedule. Talk to y'all next week.